Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle here in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a better place. Today's shows will be really interesting and out of this world with an interview during my first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Mr. Paul Hillier, the Canadian Minister of Defense. And then from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. with a very, very interesting lady, Barbara Hanclough, who's a Pleiadian contactee who has many interesting things to say. Mr. Hillier will be joining us live from Toronto, Canada, and Barbara Hanclough will be coming to us live from beautiful Bowen Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. 2 weeks ago, on April 16th, I went with my friends from the Emoto office in Tokyo, Japan, and did some wonderful water prayers at Fukushima for the children and people of Fukushima. And I had a wonderful time, and I know that our prayers and the prayers of all of my listeners of you really helped. With that, I'm asking everyone listening today to please send a brief prayer and lots of love and light to the children and people of Fukushima with this prayer. And if you can, please say it three times. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. Again, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. And finally, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. When I was in Japan, also there were a series of major earthquakes around the Kyushu area in southern Japan. And I also want to send lots of love and light to them as well. I know that's been a tough time for them. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program and supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I want to thank everyone for their donations and support, especially Judith in California, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, and everyone around the world who have supported this program to make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon, the Tokelund Hotel in Tokelund, Washington, and the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. We're looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I'd like to thank the many wonderful sponsors, including my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiromoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, Japan, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Cremo, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. I've started a new spiritual mentoring program for those who are interested. I'm a psychic, and I can teach you, too, how to contact the other side and loved ones who have passed on. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I can also be reached here in the United States at area code 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I have a new column on my webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com called Ask Ted. I posted two new articles recently about my trip to Fukushima and about angels. When I was flying across the Pacific to Tokyo, an angel appeared at the window of my aircraft as I was flying across the Pacific, and I took a picture of it. It's amazing. If you go to my website and click on Ask Ted, you'll see the picture there. We're entirely supported by donations, and if you'd like to donate, I'd really appreciate your support. The website to go for more information is www.outofthisworld1150.com. I'd like to mention quickly, before we go to Mr. Hillier, some wonderful upcoming events happening. On June 8, 2016, Michiko Hayashi, of the Global Director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, will be giving a presentation and water ceremony at the Artesian Springs in downtown Olympia, Washington, here in the United States, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. She'll be dedicating a permanent memorial to Dr. Masaru Emoto's April 2010 visit to the springs. The event is free, and I hope you all can come. Then from June 10th to the 12th, I'll be having my second annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, just off of exit 11 on Interstate 5. For those, 111 actually is an angelic number, so I feel blessed we have an angelic number for how to get to our conference. We'll have many wonderful speakers, including Scott Lemriel of the Say Race Agenda, who's had face-to-face contact with benevolent advanced humans from the Galactic Alliance for the past 55 years. We'll also be having world-famous scientist, Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington, who will be giving a keynote speech at the conference. And other people coming will be Garnet Schildhauser, a famous Canadian psychic who's the author of The Dance of Heavenly Bliss, Carolyn White, a well-known chakra and aura healer, Teresa Carroll, a well-known Seattle psychic, Alfred Lebermont Weber, an international judge and UFO expert from Vancouver, Canada, Randy Kramer, who actually lived on the planet Mars for 17 years. He's a fascinating guy. Michiko Hayashi, a gentleman named Dr. Yoshi, who's a famous Japanese Hado therapist who will be demonstrating Hado machines during the conference. And the machines also will be for sale during the conference. The website for the conference is galacticwisdomconference.com. The cost for the three-day event is $197, with discounts for students and low income, and Canadian dollars are accepted at par with the U.S. dollar. If you'd like to register, please visit the website or give me a call at 509-750-9793, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm also looking for a couple of volunteers who'd like to help me with the conference and like to market the event. If you'd like to help, please just send me an email. 1 week from today, I will be interviewing a fascinating doctor named Dr. Meir from Toronto, Canada, who will be talking about how he uses Hado machines to cure almost any illness. And also on that same program will be Michiko Hayashi, who's the global director of the Moto Peace Project, to talk about her work and the work of Dr. Masaru Moto. She will be at the Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States from June 10th to the 12th. Quickly, some other wonderful conferences coming up. If you're in Europe, there will be a wonderful conference called the Dreamers Conference in Finland from May 12th to the 15th. I'll be one of the keynote speakers there. The cost is only €60 or about $65 a day. Their website is www.dreamers.fi. The conference will sponsor, have some of the world's most famous and interesting spiritual people, including the world's most famous philosopher of science, Dr. Irvin Laszlo, on how we can make this planet a better place. Then in Montreal, Canada, from August 12th through the 19th, I'll be a speaker at the wonderful 41st Annual IIIHS Conference in Montreal. Their website is www.oneness-in-spirit.org. They have an incredible group of speakers, including Dr. Raymond Moody, who's probably one of the world's most famous near-death investigators. If you are in Montreal or in eastern Canada or the eastern United States, I strongly urge you to come to this conference. Finally, there is another wonderful conference in the Dominican Republic from August 19th to the 21st called the Peace and Light Conference. Their website is www.paxluxmundi.com. They've got an incredible lineup of presenters, including Roy Littleson, who's a Hopi spiritual guide, a gentleman named Bracco from Croatia, who has the extraordinary ability to transform into a conduit of energy that positively affects people in the audience, and he's able to do spontaneous healing as well. They have so many interesting people at this conference. I urge you all to go to the conference at www.paxluxmundi.com. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event. With that, I'd like to introduce my first guest, Mr. Paul Hillier, coming to us live from the Toronto, Canada area. Paul, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I really, really appreciate it. You've had an amazing career. You started in politics, I believe, in 1949.
I was first elected to the House of Commons.
Wonderful.
That's a long time ago.
That was before I was born. I was just molecules back then. I was born in 54. So, but then you've done amazing things, including you've been advocating for a disclosure of extraterrestrials, and you've also written an incredibly interesting book, which I've read, called the Money Mafia, and how things that we can do to make this world on a better, much better financial footing.
Yes, there was one just before that called Light at the End of the Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Survival plan for the human species.
Oh, fascinating.
And then the Money Mafia, World in Crisis,
mm-hmm.
Was the follow-up, really. And there's quite a bit of overlap, but there's also it's the progression from one to the other.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I'd like to discuss, if we could, a little bit about your views on extraterrestrials. Then I'd love to move on to your book on the Money Mafia and the Light at the End of the Tunnel. How did you ever get interested in extraterrestrial life? Did you run into the issue when you were the Canadian Minister of Defense?
Not really. I got sighting reports. And at the time, I was really too busy to pay much attention to them because I was unifying the Canadian Armed Forces, the Army, Navy, and Air Force, and put them all together in one Canadian Armed Force.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that's easy, you should try it sometime.
Hmm.
Just about as near impossible as anything that anybody could possibly undertake. So I was involved in that, which was really a battle royal at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have much time, but the sightings came across my desk, which were very similar to those that I have learned about since in the UK and elsewhere. About 80% of the sightings were natural phenomena that could be identified, and the other 15 or 20% were not. So they were mm-hmm. what you would genuinely call an unidentified flying object.
Mm-hmm.
You knew there was something up there, but you didn't know what it was or where it came from.
Mm.
So I didn't really become interested in the subject until many years later. 1967, this is one of my sort of connections with the subject. We celebrated our 100th birthday here in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and of the Canadian Federation, and I was invited by a small town in the north of Alberta, our western provinces, by the name of St. Paul's, and they dedicated the world's first flying saucer landing pad.
Oh, wonderful.
I was Minister of National Defense at the time, so they invited mm-hmm. me to come out and participate in the ceremony, and I made a speech that day, which was more prophetic than I had any idea at the moment, but it's still there,
mm-hmm.
and it's still, you can look at it on Google, and it's a very interesting memento of the early days. And of course, mm-hmm. things were already happening then, many mm-hmm. that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only 11 years ago, ten and a half years ago,
mm-hmm.
that I really got interested in the subject in a serious way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a young French-Canadian bilingual chap, Pierre Junot, who lived in Ottawa,
mm-hmm.
and he started sending me things about the UFOs and extraterrestrials and so on. And I was honest with him. I said, Pierre, I haven't got time to read them because I've always led a very busy life.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to do twice as much in a day as we should.
Sure.
And he said, well, that's okay. Just put them on a shelf and maybe you'll have time someday to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, that's fair enough. That's what I did. He sent me a book one time, which was The Day After Roswell,
mm-hmm.
by Colonel Philip Corso.
Oh, yes, I've read
it. And I said to myself, mm-hmm. well, that sounds like an interesting read
mm-hmm.
for my summer holiday,
mm-hmm.
which, incidentally, is that the place where I am now, looking out on the lake.
Mm.
I came up, as I think I told you, to get my summer tires put on.
Oh, yeah.
And so when summer came, I looked for it. I couldn't find it, but I found another book called The Life of Pi, which was very interesting,
mm-hmm.
and where you couldn't tell until you got well on whether it was fact or fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Then the following year, which was 2005, I was looking for another book and couldn't find it, and there facing me was The Life the Day After Roswell.
Oh, wow.
So I took it and mm-hmm. read it, and started to read it and found it fascinating, and I mm-hmm. said to myself, this isn't fiction.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because I recognized from my days in defense the names of the generals, the U.S. Air Force generals. It wasn't Air Force, of course,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
back in those early days it was Air
mm-hmm.
Corps, but
mm-hmm.
the generals' names I knew,
mm-hmm.
and the air bases from my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip, my nephew, came along and asked me what I was reading, and I told him, and he said, well, I'm a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's okay. You're entitled to be a skeptic. It's still a
mm-hmm.
free country, more or less, which it was more 10 years ago than it is now, like your country.
Right.
And he went home, mm-hmm. and 2 days later, he phoned me and said, I phoned the general, and he said that every word, I told him what you were reading, and he said every word is true and more.
Wow.
What he had done was get in touch with a retired United States general that he had met in the aircraft business,
mm-hmm.
and the general confirmed that this was the real thing, the real McCoy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So by then I had finished the book, and I was convinced that it was authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, just before I had come on my holiday,
mm-hmm.
I had been invited by two Toronto area ufologists,
mm-hmm.
Mike Bird and Victor Vigiani,
mm-hmm.
to speak at their show that they're putting on Convocation Hall at the University of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, Richard Dolan and a list of three or four people like that, and been in the business for a long while.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no intention of going whatsoever because I wasn't a ufologist then. I'm not now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got through reading the book,
mm-hmm.
I said there are issues here that are profound.
Right.
You know, what is the United States Air Force doing with all of this information that they have been obtaining from other sources?
Sure.
What are their plans? Are they going to try and get in the position to start a galactic war, or what? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's cooking? And
mm-hmm.
the American people are entitled to know about
sure.
this, because not only does it have consequences for them and for the world, but it's costing them a lot of money that they don't really know about it.
That's true.
And no, because nobody told them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt an obligation to go public.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely enough, I was getting married exactly a week after the convocation, so I phoned mm-hmm. my bride,
mm-hmm.
who happened to be the widow of my best friend ever, and she and her late husband and my late wife and I used to take holidays together and work mm-hmm. together and pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. So I knew her very well.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't sound very enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, well, it'll just be a one-off thing, which didn't turn out to be the truth, but I didn't know that at the time. And so she said, go ahead, which I did. And what I said that day was that UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying overhead.
Amazing.
That gave me the dubious distinction of being the first person of cabinet rank in the G8 to go mm-hmm. public and not equivocate. No, maybe, or I think so, or people think so. It
sure.
was a straight statement because I believe it,
mm-hmm.
and I believe it more than I did now, if that's possible. And that's where it all began, and it's just been one absolutely fascinating 10 years since, where the whole universe has started to open up for me. And one of the best lines in the first book, Light at the End of the Tunnel, was, I didn't know how much I didn't know because I didn't know how much there was to know.
That's amazing.
And
that's amazing.
That's as true today as it was then.
That's amazing. That's
yeah.
amazing. Well, I'm a spiritual guy, Paul, and I'm also a psychic too, and so I talk to a lot of spirits on the other side, and angels too. And whenever my guests are on the right track and they're speaking, the truth, and especially light, bringing light into the world, often my studio will light up in this beautiful white light. And it's just as you said that now, that you mentioned that the Air Force colonel said every bit of every word in your book was true and then some, or in the Colonel Corso's book, the studio's turned into this beautiful white light. There's white light in the studio now, and I can tell.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's very nice, and all my angels are applauding you for your work.
Good for you.
So that's always nice too. Wow, that's beautiful.
Nice to have a little confirmation.
It is, actually. I'm very sensitive to that because the energies are here and they're all applauding you for your wonderful work.
Well, I have a birthday greeting from a group of extraterrestrials last year. And
really? Oh, how
yeah.
interesting.
And they sent, used a channeler and mm-hmm. sent this message to me, which mm-hmm. was beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and said that they knew of my connection with the One, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
and they wished that I would have a very splendid birthday. And it was a species that I'd never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
They called the Pasitas.
Hmm.
And they're very tall,
mm-hmm.
and wear white robes, look almost like religious people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend has a friend that they have healed. Mm. He woke up one night and saw them all standing around his bed and and looking at them, and he was wise enough not to say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" But to keep his mouth shut, and they let him know why they were there.
Beautiful.
In effect, they were sort of doing diagnostics to decide what they should do to help. And they did, and they said they would be back some other time, which they did. And they've had quite a remarkable effect on his health situation, which is very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then my friend wrote the first book that I know of that was dictated by the extraterrestrials. There have been a lot that have, you know, carried messages and this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was actually dictated. And they would have a session that would last so long. And he would record what they had to say and put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would write a little commentary based on his own experience, because he's a very experienced and very spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
And also a healer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been I've read it through once, and I'm reading through the second time, because it's got, as all of these things have that come from ancient species who have seen our planet populate and depopulate, and what has happened to us and what could happen to us,
right,
and will happen to us if we don't smarten up.
Right.
He put that all down, and then his observations based on his experience here, and published a little book that is available. His name, if anybody wanted to get to look it up on Amazon, is Laird, L-A-I-R-D, Orr.
Okay.
And it's just a, you know, it's not a big book. It's just a thin, fairly thin book.
Okay.
But it contains a tremendous amount of wisdom based on millennia, and a tremendous amount of advice, and some prophecy, really along the lines of, don't expect us to save you.
Sure, sure.
Because you were given the power of choice.
Right.
And you're supposed to make right decisions for yourself.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And if you keep running the world the way you are now, where it's me first, and to hell with everybody else,
right?
Let them starve,
right?
And we're only interested in killing machines and more efficient killing machines.
That's right.
Interplanetary travel and all of these things, and that's why I'm more interested than making sure that children aren't dying from starvation or more ill health. If we keep on that direction, why, we know what's going to happen to us.
Right, exactly.
But whether we still have time or not, I don't know. But
time is short.
I'm an optimist, a congenital optimist, so I say, well, let's act as if it's not too late and do something.
Right.
And so there are a lot of suggestions, as you know, in my book, The Money Mafia, as to what we as a species would have to do to turn things around, and it would be to set entirely different priorities than those that have prevailed for the last, since the 1950s.
Well, I have a wonderful idea. Paul, why don't we start setting those priorities now on the show? Because I have listeners in over 70 countries around the world, and I'm sure people would be fascinated to hear what you have to say. I've read your book. It's an incredible book, and I urge everyone to get a copy of it. It's the nicest thing about it. It's very clearly written, and it's one of the best books I've ever read, actually, on what we can do to help this planet.
Well, yeah, you know, which aspect? There are quite a few suggestions there. Can you remember any of it you want to talk about?
Well, which one?
Let's say we have to change the priorities.
Right, exactly.
And for 6,000 years, we've been empire building.
Right.
And even before World War II was over,
right,
the Council on Foreign Relations in the U.S. was plotting another empire,
right,
that would consist of Hitler's presumed empire,
right,
plus all of North America, plus Australia, New Zealand, and southern Asiatic countries. A
sure.
huge
sure.
empire.
Sure.
And they've been working on it ever since.
Right, right.
And then they have taken on allies as they mm-hmm. have gone along.
Mm-hmm.
They've allied themselves with the very secretive Bilderbergers, a group,
sure.
The Trilateral Commission,
mm-hmm.
In a group which I call the Cabal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reigning power in the world today,
that's
certainly
true.
In the United States.
That's true.
Congress and the president are really out of it as far as what is going on is concerned.
The loop, yeah.
And taking their orders from the cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they don't know that in many cases.
Right.
And this is headed by the what I call the money mafia.
Mm-hmm.
The top, the apex of this cabal is the money cartel.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, a small group of people have managed to wangle an exclusive right to create money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not theirs. The patent to create money belongs to the people.
That's right.
Especially in a country like Canada, where we own our central bank, the mm-hmm. Bank of Canada,
mm-hmm.
100%.
Good.
That's so great. We own the right to create money. Well, mm-hmm. who's creating it? Not us
mm-hmm.
anymore. We used to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the people that are creating it are the banking system.
Sure.
And as you know, and we can come back to this,
mm-hmm.
they're doing it in a way that is a global fraud.
Right.
There's just nothing honest about it. And they the people responsible for this,
mm-hmm.
been racking up huge fortunes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how huge, I don't think I have in the book, but a couple of mm-hmm. years ago, it was reported that 88 families owned half of the wealth of the world.
Amazing.
And then it dropped to 80, and there was the report in the paper probably 2 months ago.
Right.
That now 62 families.
Wow.
Own 50% of all of the wealth in the world.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
How can you wrap your mind around that?
Yeah, yeah.
You start adding up the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Tokyo and Mexico City and right. San Francisco and
right.
And Vancouver and Toronto and New York and
sure.
Philadelphia and
mm-hmm.
on and on and
mm-hmm.
on. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, Paris and Berlin and London and right around the world. And saying that 50% of all those cities is owned lock, stock, and barrel by 62 families.
That's just amazing. That's just amazing.
Now, well, how in heaven's name could we let that happen?
Right. I agree.
Talk about greed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
talk about wrong priorities, because
sure.
here at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you've got thousands of people who are starving.
That's right. That's right. I see homeless people here in the United States.
Then, yeah. Mm-hmm. consists of that cartel.
Right.
And then the oil cartel.
Right.
Has been dishing out misleading information in the United States for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite contemptible, really,
mm-hmm.
because if you get to the bottom line is that they want to cash in trillions of dollars in oil assets and let the world go up in flames.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Sure.
They don't put it that way because that's too blunt and that's the truth.
Right.
They say, well, the science is not clear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I would call that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it would be a little three-letter word starting with L.
You're so polite. You're so polite.
And then beneath them are the heads of the transnational corporations.
Right, right.
And then the intelligence organizations,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and there's so many of them you can't count them. So you just pick out three or so, a few of the top ones.
Right, alphabet soup, three-letter agencies.
The CIA mm-hmm. and the NSA. FBI and the
sure.
NSA, and then you add maybe MI6 and mm-hmm. The Mossad and so on.
Sure, sure.
And they're all in it,
sure.
And then a huge swath of the U.S. military.
Right.
And they're the people that are calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they've been calling for decades is perpetual war.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to run out of one war, they get the next one set up.
Isn't that what Hitler wanted too back in World War II, Paul, if I remember? He wanted a world based on perpetual war? Same thing.
Pardon me?
Didn't Adolf Hitler want the same thing? He wanted a world based upon perpetual war as the same thing?
I don't know. I think he just wanted to take over the world and run it for himself.
Right, right.
But I'm not a real expert on Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Although there were unfortunate similarities
mm-hmm.
between his process
mm-hmm.
and the processes that have been going on recently.
Sure, sure.
And cooperation with people from other star systems
mm-hmm.
And experiments and genetics and the creation allegedly of a superior race
mm-hmm.
and all of that sort of thing. It's just right out of the Third Reich and into what some people are calling the Fourth Reich.
Right. Right.
And so they have been spending all of this money mm-hmm. and on killing machines.
Right.
And they've been getting more diabolical all the time.
Well, something has to stop because the world will not be able to sustain itself in a continual, warlike effort continually like this. I just can't. There's no future in it.
Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But are they going to wipe us all out while they play around to find that out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're getting some help. I've been in telepathic contact for the past 2 years with the Galactic Alliance, which is an alliance of 450 million planets in this one-third part of the Milky Way galaxy. The communications are telepathic, and I've also been visited to Telos, which is a city beneath the Earth, beneath Mount Shasta, and I've been invited back. Be going there physically this June. But they're very benevolent creatures. They're people like they wear white robes like the people you talked about earlier. Uh-huh, right. Gave you that thing. And things are turning around. They're working behind the scenes.
They are trying to help us, but we're difficult to help. It's not that we don't need help.
That's funny.
We don't seem to be able to differentiate between people who want to help us and people who want to exploit us.
That's right. That's right.
And this has become our modus vivendi. If you can take people for suckers and rob them of their resources and their futures, why, go ahead and do it, because it's a great game.
Well, I want to tell you that the Galactics have stepped in, and they are working behind the scenes, and they've given you protection too, Paul, so I don't want you to worry about your work or about being threatened at all.
I think that's I don't disagree with you at all on that, because I wouldn't say an old man, but uh-huh. I'm getting on in years, as you know.
Sure.
And still able to get around and mm-hmm. get up in the morning and go to work and mm-hmm. do my little bit
mm-hmm.
and survive in a difficult environment. So I'm in full agreement that I have been looked after tenderly and carefully by some people who hope that I will continue to try and tell the truth and maybe do a few little things more before I die.
I had an astrologer on my program 2 years ago, Paul, named Susan Miller out of New York City. She's a wonderful astrologist. And one thing that she told me that stuck in my mind was that this was a time of truth from 2014 extending into the 2020s and 2030s here on planet Earth, that things that are true will become even truer and those that are false will become false and fall by the wayside. And what you're doing with your work, I think, is just wonderful, Paul, because you're bringing the truth to not only to the public, both in Canada, the United States, and worldwide, about what's really going on in the world and solutions to how things can be fixed for the better.
Yes, I think the two have to go in parallel. People mm-hmm. have to know what's going on, and then they have to be given the opportunity to try and do something about it.
Sure. I have to ask you, you were a Minister of Defense for Canada from 1963 to 1967, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Did you ever meet President John F. Kennedy?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wonderful. What was that like?
Well, it was a thrill because he was everybody's idol mm-hmm. at the time, and great things were expected of him,
mm-hmm.
and probably great things would have come of him if he had been around for any length of time.
Well, as a psychic, I've been in touch with him for about the past year and a half, 2 years, and the messages that he's given me, he said that the planet itself was on the verge of a golden age back when he was president, back in the early 60s. Of course, after he was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963, that tide turned with President Johnson, of course, in the Vietnam War and a series of disastrous foreign policy decisions and domestic decisions here in the United States and elsewhere. But he says now, he's coming to say hi to you, by the way, he said that our destiny is to become a far better and benevolent human civilization and to join the ranks with other members of the galactic community as an advanced species based upon love and harmony. And
well, that's what we hope for.
Yes. And he said that the pivotal time, there's like a 50-55 year cycle, and it's been about 54 years now since he was assassinated. And those cycles are coming up, and he said this time we're going to win. I'm actually writing a book with messages from President Kennedy that I hope to publish later this year. But he's here, and he's very happy that you're on the show today. I'm very grateful for your wonderful work.
He was our hope back then, and mm-hmm. we've just elected a young man as our prime minister, and I'm hoping that he might be able to do something, but he's going to need a lot of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with people that age, as I recall from my own experience, is that they think they have all the answers.
Right.
And that it's not necessary to turn towards their elders. This is something that we should have learned from the indigenous peoples,
right,
who were here ahead of us, because they revered what their elders would tell them about their experience and pointing out pitfalls to avoid. And some of my friends, at least, think that you have to make the same mistake over and over again, which, of course, Einstein said was a particular form of insanity.
He did, didn't he? He's a funny guy.
He had some good lines, that man.
Yeah. He also, what he said also, too, was that things, God does not play with dice, and so things happen for a reason. And I think the reason you've been able to do your work is because this is a time of truth for humanity, and things are genuinely getting better. The messages that I got the other day was that if we were headed toward Armageddon and a third world war, which would end everything, which I don't believe we are, but if we were, then why would all these great spiritual teachers come to us and help us out in our journey in turning this planet around?
That's the message of hope that I love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's just when you come back to the other side of it,
mm-hmm.
you have the United States trying to push the Trans-Pacific Partnership on the many nations of the world.
Oh, what a mess that is.
And they call it a partnership, which is the first lie.
Right.
And then they call it a trade agreement,
right,
which is the second lie.
Right.
And when you get around to the truth,
right,
it is the biggest power grab, intended to be the biggest power grab in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, in effect, they are transferring sovereignty from all countries, including the United States. If the people of the United States really knew what it was about, they would really be furious.
Right.
But they're not told. And this huge document, which most people have never read, most people never have the opportunity to read.
It's
designed to transfer power
mm-hmm.
from the people of these countries to the transnational corporations.
Wow. Wow.
And the money cartel.
Wow. Wow. One of the problems here in the United States, Paul, I don't know what it's like in Canada. I hope it's better up where you are. But down here, we have just six corporations who control 90-95% of the mass media in the United States. I'm an independent station. I'm a nonprofit. I've got a worldwide audience. I'm not part of that 90-95%. But if they decide not to publish something or discuss something, it doesn't get published. And on our mass media, you don't hear anything about the TPP. Nothing.
Well, absolutely. But this goes way back. In some respects, the U.S. Congress has been slow learners.
Mm-hmm.
They let the bankers take over their money system.
Right.
Over just a little over a century ago.
1913.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened, of course, I guess it was Morgan's Bank.
Right.
Set up a committee to determine the 25 most powerful and influential papers in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And to gain control of every one of them.
Mm. Wow.
And this is the system which, in effect, still applies.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I write an op-ed piece, which I try to do every once in a while just to please myself,
mm-hmm.
and send it to one of our papers, I know it's not going to be published.
Mm.
Unless I tone it down so much that all of the fire is out of it.
Well, you're welcome to come on my show anytime you like, Paul, and say anything you like.
Well, I appreciate that.
Anytime. Well,
it's nice to be able to sound off every once in a while and say what you think.
Well, you don't have to. Yeah.
You can still say it here, but you don't get an audience because
right.
even our publicly owned broadcaster, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation,
CBC,
mm-hmm. which prides itself on digging up all
right.
sorts of scandals and,
right.
And looking at all sorts of injustices and so on,
mm-hmm.
it will not touch the subject of money.
Really? Interesting.
No.
Interesting.
And there's a chap, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Richard Syrett, who runs the kind of program here that you have.
Mm-hmm.
He actually has a mainline show in the morning, but he got a gig with the CBC.
Mm-hmm.
The title of the show was "So You Think I'm Crazy."
Funny.
And he invited me to go on it.
Uh huh.
And we did an hour show on money, where it comes from,
mm-hmm.
and what's wrong with the system, and what has to be done about it.
Right.
It was one of the best interviews I've ever done.
Wow.
I can say that, of course, because they buried
mm-hmm.
it. But,
mm-hmm.
It was one of my better ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time I'd ask them when they were going to wear it, why, it would be some little excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he said they've decided they're not going to.
Really?
And that's not the only example, because there have been others when I have almost got on. They had Paul Volcker on. Our national program one night.
Right.
And then they had another Canadian on
mm-hmm.
who had done, in my opinion, a lot of damage to our system,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
including taking away from removing from banks the necessity of having cash reserves.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And this meant that we lost the seniorage.
Mm-hmm.
That we used to get
mm-hmm.
of a few billion dollars a year
right.
for printing the little bit of money that they had to keep in their vaults just in case they needed any.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so these chaps, both maybe decent chaps, but they people who have caused great harm in the system,
mm-hmm.
have been on the national program.
Sure.
And I got in touch with one of the chief economist girls there.
Right.
And said, you know, I demand equal time.
Right. Good for you.
She says, well, you'll get your 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, I got a call from the producer a few days later and saying, mm-hmm. no, she's been transferred to Ottawa temporarily, and we're not going to do that.
Temporarily?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's too bad.
Yep.
That's too bad.
So you're absolutely right. So this is what we're fighting against.
Right. Right.
And it's a real mountain of deception and malfeasance, and it's not easy. But at the same time, as you say, the progress is getting made in getting the truth out by alternative means like yours and those of many other people I know that
right.
work at it.
Right,
right. day after day and week after week without losing heart, and who offer hope.
Right, right. Well, the tide is turning and the truth is coming out. I'll give you an example of one little example. Last night I was listening to Coast to Coast Radio, which is a national alternative radio here in the United States. It comes on real late at night. I enjoy listening to it.
Yeah, I've been on it two or three times.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. But one of the they had a doctor on, and I called in and I got through, and I asked the doctor on air. They were talking about the Zika virus, and I said I had a professor of law from University of Illinois in Chicago about a month ago on my show, Francis Boyle, and Professor Boyle had said that the Zika virus actually was patented by the Rockefeller Foundation in 1947, and released last year by Bill Gates in South America and parts of Asia as a way for population control. And I asked the doctor, good doctor, about it last night in Coast to Coast, and they said, oh, that's just conspiracy theory, and he dismissed it. But I've seen the documents on the web showing that that actually was happening. Do you have any knowledge about the Zika virus? I don't, but I just wanted to relay what...
The answer is no, I have no knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when I hear something like that, I do not discount it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not say it's true if I have no evidence.
Sure.
But I do not say it's not true. When sure. I have no evidence, it's not true.
Sure. You need the evidence. Absolutely.
So I have to have the evidence.
Sure.
But it is certainly the kinds of things that are not too far-fetched.
Right. Right.
When you know what the plan is.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And I personally am very, very concerned about chemtrails. I don't know what you know about them.
Well, I used to live in a part of Washington State here in the United States where they were spraying chemtrails once every two or three days. And so this was back in 2014. And so what I did is that I hired a private laboratory at the University of Wisconsin, Paul, to analyze the fish in this lake I was living on, the air, and the water.
Right.
And it turned out, I kid you not, I still have the studies, the aluminum rates in the air were 10,000 times higher than what they should have been, so-called normal rates.
Right.
The barium and strontium were between 8,000 to 9,000 times.
Which?
The barium and strontium were very high.
Yep.
There was a sulfur content 5,000 times higher than what it should have been.
The which one?
Sulfur content.
Proper?
Sulfur. Sulfur content.
Sulfur.
Sulfur. And then the fish in the lake... I got the results back from the laboratory. You know what they said? They said that the fish were all laced with these toxic metals, and they were unsafe to eat. And
well,
I had a program on it back in September of 2014. I've since moved from that part of the state. I now live in the Seattle area. And as far as I know, they're still doing it. And what's insane is that you see these low-lying U.S. Navy planes spraying this stuff, and a lot of people are getting sick. The area is called Moses Lake, Washington. It has a high stillbirth rate, high Alzheimer's rate because of the aluminum. The air is toxic. The fish are toxic. The water is toxic. And it's paid for through our federal tax dollars to kill us.
Absolutely. And not only that, but you're doing it to us.
Absolutely.
And other people, I guess, all of NATO countries.
Right. That's true.
My wife and I went to the Turks and Caicos a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
For just a few days, and we were out in the ocean because we're people that swim in the ocean.
Right.
And there they go, right across in front of us.
Amazing.
And where we live in Toronto, we live on the bay.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto, as you know, is on Lake Ontario.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the large freshwater lakes of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning, and it drives me crazy because my wife hasn't been convinced yet,
mm-hmm.
Away they go from the local city airport,
right,
which is only about 400 yards from us.
Mm-hmm.
These small planes take off and start dumping their poison.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they just go around and around all day. And, of course, especially if we have a clear sky.
Right.
Starts out as a clear sky. Then, of course, it ends up, as you know, by the end of the day, it's all cloud.
Wow. Wow.
From the chemtrails creating their own little serious cloud system.
Sure.
And I don't know if they're particularly lacing this area or not,
mm-hmm.
but they do it every day.
Wow.
Well, they might have one day off. I don't know.
Right, right.
But the chances are 9 out of 10, you can look out the window, and there they are,
mm-hmm.
and you can see them take off from the airport, and then you can see them come back, and then off again.
Well,
and there are four of them, and 1, 2, 3, 4, away they go, and then around the circle and come back.
I have to tell you, this morning as I was driving up to the studio, I was driving past McCord Air Force Base, which is about 30-40 miles south of the studio here in Seattle. And as I was driving, Paul, I noticed one of the planes landing was an Orion, U.S. Navy Orion P-30, the same kind of plane that does the spraying over in eastern Washington.
Right.
What's a U.S. Navy plane landing at a U.S. Air Force base? Because the armed services are often very territorial. My theory is that they're landing there to load up on the chemicals to fly to eastern Washington to dump it.
Right. Isn't this a joint U.S. the Navy Air Force the project?
I think so.
Could you send me that report that you're talking about?
I'll send it to you today. I think you'll find it fascinating.
I will, and I'm going to try and get my wife to read it.
Okay.
Because I'm very concerned, and on a sort of a final note, I did not carry the pictures of my children around in my pocket
mm-hmm.
for people to see.
Mm-hmm.
I did not carry around the pictures of my grandchildren for them to see.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I carry one picture today,
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
of my female great-grandchild
mm-hmm.
to remind me not to give up the fight to stop this business of poisoning the air that she breathes and the water she drinks and the soil where her food is.
And you know, Canada's a wonderful democracy. We like to think we're a democracy here in the United States, but I have my questions about that. But Paul, I don't remember ever voting on a chemtrail program. You? I don't remember voting on it.
Funny you should say that. When I mention it to people, they say, well, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the myth is perpetuated that these chemtrails are contrails.
Right, exactly.
Which, as you well know, are legitimate water vapor.
Right.
Trails coming out of the back of the jets when
sure.
they get up in the cold air.
Sure, absolutely.
But these, as you also know, are not the same.
Right.
They go right across the sky, and they unfurl slowly, and
then
they formation changes into a sort of a cloud, and so on. And,
right.
But by the end of the day, the whole horizon is cloudy.
I wanted to say, for those of you in Vancouver, Canada, there's a wonderful chemtrail conference on May 7th. I will be attending that conference. It'll be Saturday, May 7th. I don't have all the venue information, but I will broadcast it next hour. We've got about a minute left, Paul, and I wanted to give you the next minute or so to say anything you like. And then I'd like to finish with a speech by President Kennedy on Ask Not What You Can Do for Your Country.
Right. Well, I really urge the people of the United States to take stock. Find out what's been going on in your country for the last 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what President Eisenhower meant when he said, beware of the military-industrial complex.
Right.
Find out the truth of what Carol Rosen has been telling us that she got from Von Braun about the perpetual war.
Okay,
and
sure.
Who said that first it will be the communists. And then, when you run out of those, it will mm-hmm. be the terrorists.
Right.
Even if you have to fabricate the evidence necessary to start it.
Right.
And then, finally, it will be the extraterrestrials.
Right, I remember that.
You make your own fleet of ships and pretend you're going to take over the world and hope that it'll scare the daylights out of people to the point where they will just let you take it over and
right.
not wince or show any resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been telling people when you see them coming, just wave. Say, well, have a good day, boys. Don't come around and start bothering us.
Hope you have an out of this world day.
Yeah. So then do some things. Change your priorities.
Sure.
Stop spending so much money on arms.
Absolutely.
Stop starting new wars every time you run out of the old ones.
Sure.
And start cooperating with the other people of the world, especially the people that you have been sort of running down, the Muslim population of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cooperate with them and cooperate with everybody to start giving everybody every child a break, enough
right.
food to
right.
eat, enough,
right. Absolutely.
Something on their back, and a little basic education, a little basic health care,
right.
And an opportunity to show their capability of making a contribution to the world, and build what I call God's kingdom here on earth.
Wonderful. Paul, we've run out of time, my friend, but thank you so much for coming on today. It's been really a joy. You're welcome back anytime.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.